my lesson this morning, but when she left, right before she left this afternoon, you know, the lesson that was on that scripture, well done, thou good and faithful servant, she told me before I left, she said, be good. I told her, I said, son, you said that half a dozen people tell me that every Sunday night now that you're gone, well, across the parking lot. Be good.
Experience difficulties at sea. Verse 7 says, when
we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with great difficulty off Sidon, the wind not permitting us to proceed. Verse 9, and when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous. So same thing in your life and mine as we, to keep the metaphor going, sail through life. You know, we're going to need, we're going to experience some storms, and we're going to need a safe harbor. What are we going to do when we are in that proverbial storm of our life? You know, we think of it just when we get a weather storm, you put up the umbrellas. Or we come in from the cold, we seek shelter. We build a shelter from the elements. And we can't always expect a calm life. The winds will blow in your life, just as they do in mine. And times will come, as in verse 15 says, we could not face the wind. We gave way to it and were driven. Sometimes the storms in our life, they move us rather than we moving them. Or we don't always find a safe shelter. We feel this is more than I can bear. I don't know what to do. Or what will I do? So we need a safe place to anchor our life and our soul. That's the lesson. So let's notice the harbors that failed in this journey. Big point number two. So the first one is in verse 8. While they're sailing. Then we came to a place called Fair Havens. Fair Havens. Good advertisement. Now, people like to name their cities, certainly if they're on the coast, that's something calm and comforting. Well, this one was called Fair Havens. I like that. But verse 12, when Paul and the Romans are on this ship and the prisoners, it says that because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there. So they pull into a place called Fair Havens, but that's not a good place. Especially when the winter time comes. Oh, the hard times come. Well, think about what the world advertises to you and me. You know, sometimes it's safe harbors, but they're really not suitable. I see, well, I like the advertisements when I'm going down the road, and I saw one that said Happy Landing Bar. Happy Landing Bar. Well, you know, I'm sure the people that end up landing there will also end up landing in a place that's not so happy after a while. And so that was not the best of advertisements, but that's what they advertise. I see another one on the road called Honest John's Used Cars. I don't know how other car lots stay in business with Honest John in the neighborhood. Why would you buy a car from anybody else when there's Honest John right there? So another one said, the name of the good food restaurant. It had a B-rated card posted in the window. Wrong advertisement. When I was a lot younger, going back and forth to Michigan, my parents' house, I'd always stop at certain places, just drive until I got to the evening and look for a motel that said vacancy, and sure enough, I saw one that said Good Night Motel. Good night. That's what I want. I want a good night. But there, when I pulled in, all of a sudden, there's still the freeway going out by out front and the Santa Fe Railroad going in the back. Good night, motel. After my parents passed away and it came time to go get some stuff and bring it back this way, went to the U-Haul place. Got that really small U-Haul truck and looking at over the thing, the lot there, and I said, oh, I'd like that one right there because on the door it said Gentle Ride. That's what I want. I've got a long way to go, 2,400 miles. Gentle Ride. Got in that truck and get on the freeway and had my Pepsi in the drink holder, and I mean to tell you, that truck bounced up and down so much I had white caps on my Pepsi. I think I could have body surfed on that thing. But it said Gentle Ride. Sometimes we believe the advertisement. And this was placed when Paul set sail, Fair Havens. No, not commodious to winter in. There's a lot of our world offers a lot of places for refuge for our soul. And it sounds good. Oh, we're self-realization. Universalism. That doesn't matter what you believe, just come on in. A lot of the ancient religions, people go for that. That sounds safe. It's a very old faith. But to stay there will destroy the soul. So one of the first places we see that are not saved is sometimes the advertisements of a place called Fairhaven. Second, government. They had Agrippa, Festus, and Julius, centurion. And all of these, you know, we're sending you to Caesar. You appeal to him, to Caesar you'll go. He had government backing behind him. In verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded. You know, let's go. Let's go. Back in Acts 26, the chapter before, remember King Agrippa, Governor Festus? And they delivered Paul and some of the other prisoners to one named Julius. He's a centurion of the Augustan regiment. And then they put out to sea with all that government backing. King Agrippa, Governor Festus, Julius. Wow. Most powerful government could not calm the storm, give them a safe harbor. So, but now government, we know in Romans chapter 13, the opening verses, government has its place. It's ordained by God. Government is to be honored. However, it cannot provide a safe harbor for the soul. It's not going to do that. In Psalm 147, verse 10, God does not delight in the strength of the horse. But Roman Empire was a pretty powerful horse. But it couldn't calm a sea. God does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. There's a safe harbor. Not relying on government to save our soul. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel that provides a safe soul, a safe harbor for our soul. Gospel. Number three, skill in seamanship. Verse 11 again. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman, the owner of the ship, than by the things spoken by Paul. So who will you listen to? Apostle Paul? Or the helmsman? The owner of the ship? Skilled people? Seamanship? They had the sailor's wisest judgment. Combined counsel in verse 37 said there were 276 people on board, but they still could not save the ship. So there's some storms in your life and mine that not even the wisest and the majority can solve. The safe harbor, Solomon said in Proverbs 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walks wisely will be delivered. And that's what I want. I need deliverance. Safe harbor. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your steps, acknowledge Him, meaning God, and He'll direct your steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that it's not in man, or in the way of man in himself, to direct his own steps. Can't do it. So when we try to solve our own problems, especially that of sin sickness and wretchedness, and we want to have the hope of heaven, we don't turn to skill and seamanship of those around us. We trust in the Lord and the strength of His might. Number four is possessions. Verses 18 and 19. It says, because they were exceedingly tempest-tossed. Ever get that way or feel that way? And my life is not just in a tempest, I am exceedingly tempest-tossed. Wow. The next day, what do? They lighten the ship. Those goods aren't going to be of any value to them, are they? On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands, it says. So all of that stuff that was designed to help them sail and to sail successfully was not working. could not save their souls. It was not calming. So they decided to throw out some more in verse 38. So Paul talks to them and he says, let's go ahead and eat. Let's keep our strength up. And eaten for 14 days in the story. So in verse 38 it says that when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Let's lighten the ship some more. What else can we do to save ourselves? Of course, Jesus said, and you know the verse in Matthew 16, verse 26, what's a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Our possessions are good and God-given, and our talents and our opportunities, and they're especially good for here and the work that it can accomplish. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that with all that we have, we need to be ready to distribute and do good with what we have. But our possessions certainly can't save us. Jesus told a story about a man who had the wealth, but he said, beware of covetousness. Man's life consists not in the things that he possesses. Wow, so where am I going to hide my soul? Philippians 4, verse 7 says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So there's a safe place. Number 5 is just losing hope. In verse 20, nearing the end of all of these tempest-tossed days, it says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Uh-oh. It's pretty bleak now. We've had exceedingly tempest-tossed. We've had just tempest-tossed. But now we don't even see the sun or stars. Uh-oh. Wow. Never been in that situation. What am I going to do now? No small tempest, the verse continues in verse 20, beat on us. Wow, it's getting worse. About the time I thought I was getting through this, I just got piled on with some more. Uh-oh. No small tempest beat on us. Next phrase, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. So they're probably thinking when all else fails, maybe we'll just luck out. Let's give up hope. We might just get lucky, who knows. But later on this same journey, and at this point, Paul gives them counsel, and after 14 more days, he said in verse 29, then, fearing lest we should run around on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed, or the one translation, King James says, wished for the day. When will daylight come? Am I ever going to get through this? Yeah, that's not a safe harbor. I hope we can make it. We need to put our trust and our faith in the right place. And that's the last point. The soul's safe harbor. When all else fails, we've tried everything that we can. We've asked the counsel of others. We have a little bit of dependence on government. Something else. But now Paul said in verse 25, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The safe harbor that they tried to find by their own means had failed. So verse 44, after Paul says, it shall be even as God said it would be, it says, so it was that they all escaped safely to land. In Acts 28, verse 16, just to kind of finish the story after the journey was completed, it says, now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. So I just put a couple closing verses for your consideration. The soul's safe harbor. In Psalm 121, it should be 127, that's your notes. 127 verse 1, yes. It says, lest the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Lest the Lord builds the house. And in Psalm 121, a I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Where's the soul's safe harbor? In the Lord. In the Lord. And that needs to be fortified, strengthened, repeated over and over again, lest we get, or one of us gets weary with the tempest and turn everywhere else except to the Lord. Stay on God's side. We'll have to, in John chapter 6, remember Jesus taught some hard sayings, and because of the hard sayings, many of the disciples turned back. So Jesus turns to those that are still there and said, will you also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go? That's a good question. If you go away from the Lord, to whom will you go? These six things. Whom do you go? And he's answered correctly, thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art that Christ. So that's to whom we go. All right, so that's kind of a lesson, the thing about the soul safe harbors in the story of Acts chapter 27. Always when we assemble together, we sing a song of invitation, song of exhortation. We'll do that again this evening. If you're not a member of the New Testament Church, and been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this evening. One has brethren for strength or encouragement. And we have in our bulletin, prayerfully remember Lynn, and people many times will make prayer requests, not just answering an invitation at the invitation song, but during our assembly or before or afterwards, they'll say, I need prayers, and we can accomplish that. But if there's an immediate need and you want brethren right now, within these next few minutes, to pray with you or for you, we can accomplish that. Just let it be known. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected.